to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those who are cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. Our guests today are Katie Smith and Jesse Zevelkink. These two ladies
Hi.
Just completed the Great Loop. Hi, ladies. They completed it in the fall at the age of 25, so they're some of the youngest Gold Loopers around, probably aside from those who have done it with their parents. But before we really get started with Katie and Jesse, I want to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, Waterway Guide Media. And we'd like to encourage all of the listeners out there to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. If you are with us live this morning, please feel free to call in with questions for Katie and Jesse. The call-in number is 877-497-1815. Katie and Jesse, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
For anyone out there who maybe isn't familiar with the Great Loop, let's start by saying it's a journey of 5,000 or more miles that is basically a circumnavigation of the eastern portion of the U.S. and parts of Canada. So, Katie and Jesse, give us some of your stats, like how many miles it took you, how many states and provinces, how many days you spent cruising.
We covered almost 6,000 miles. We spent only 222 days, 25 days, I guess, cruising, but did take 2 years to complete the loop because we stopped and worked and stopped and repaired and all that. We went through 15 states and 3 countries. We did the Bahamas and Canada.
Awesome. Let's start kind of from the beginning. I know you cruised aboard. Your boat is Louise. Tell us a little bit about Louise.
Mm-hmm.
Louise is a 1979 Cal 27, a pretty small boat, and we found her at Crowley's Yacht Yard in Chicago a couple years back. She had been sitting up on jack stands in the yacht yard for 4 or 5 years, and it was listed for $6,000, and we got it for $3,500.
So what made you start planning the adventure? What made you start looking for Louise and getting ready to go?
So the whole idea came from my father, who traveled the Great Loop twice, actually, back in the 70s. So he's talked about it our whole lives, and that's the only reason we knew it existed and knew it was possible. And Katie and I were actually living out west at the time in Lake Tahoe area, and kind of just in a transitional, ready to do something next, ready for the next adventure phase. And he suggested that we buy a boat and sail to the Bahamas. He was just like, you should do the loop. And one thing turned into another. We joked about it for some time, and over weeks and then months, the joke was no longer a joke at all. We were searching for boats, and that's when my dad and Katie's dad drove down to Chicago to look at this boat that they found online. They were like, I think this is it, girls. And so we sent checks home and bought a boat we had never seen before and packed up and moved back to Michigan.
Now, you two are pretty much lifelong friends, right?
Right.
I guess you could say that. Yeah, we've
known each
other
since we were
little girls, and our dads are buds since high school, so that's how we know each other.
Mm-hmm. So, but you had boated together growing up.
We did. Jesse's family took a trip to Canada every year, and I went along on that. But when we were younger, we were more like along for the ride than we were really sailing. I actually just found out last night that Jesse never even took a boater safety class or anything in her life. I mean, we were on the water a lot growing up, but not necessarily passionate about sailing or boating in general, just swimming.
Mm-hmm. So your dads were obviously kind of involved in the process and supporting the process since they were looking for a boat for you. Tell me about the moms. How did, because we've got a lot of members and a lot of listeners out there who are probably closer to your moms in age than to you two. So how did the moms feel about their daughters heading off on this adventure?
That's a great question. I wish she was here to answer that for you. I didn't tell my mom for a long time, actually. My dad was on board for months before I had the guts to tell my mom, because I knew she wouldn't be that excited about it. She had spent a lot of time cruising with my dad growing up, and she was very aware of, you know, the consequences or things that could go wrong in cruising on a small sailboat. And so I knew she would be worried, and she was. And she actually, she did not support in the beginning, but she was hesitant, and she was a mom, she was nervous, and it took her a little bit to come around. It wasn't until like a couple weeks before Katie and I were leaving, and it like finally hit her that I wasn't joking anymore, and that I had spent the entire summer fixing up this boat. And she started asking me like a million questions, like, what about this, what about that, how are you gonna get there? And anyways, it was hilarious because, you know, we had been talking about this for probably 6 months now, and never once had she really started asking me questions about what we were doing. And then all of a sudden she had a million questions. And after that, you know, she was more than supportive along our travels. Katie?
It became real for her at a certain point. I'm sure that's when she started asking you questions.
Yeah,
and you mentioned spending some time fixing up Louise. Tell us about that. You know, how did you know how to fix up a boat, and how did you finance the whole process of doing that and taking off?
We saved up our money from the time that we started talking about it when we were living out in California. I wish we could show a picture, but we basically replaced everything that could be replaced on the boat before we left. And spent the entire summer doing that, to the point where we had only sailed Louise once, because by the time she was ready, we had to leave before it was winter. but along the trip, we just stopped whenever we ran out of money and did some waitressing or, you know, whatever jobs we could do temporarily.
And as far as how did we know how to get the boat ready? We didn't, to be honest with you. all projects were funded by our waitressing money and guided by both of our dads. They spent, you know, endless hours helping us tear things apart and walking us through all the different projects that we had to do. So we learned a ton about our boat before we left, just not that much about sailing.
So at the time you left, did you feel like you knew the systems of the boat, and from that time you spent essentially rebuilding it, did you feel comfortable that you would be able to take care of the maintenance issues that come up, or did you have some apprehension about that?
You know, I was comfortable with some of the engine maintenance as far as changing oil, you know, the alternator belt, impeller, the transmission fluid, you know, some of the, like, simple upkeep things. I made sure to have my dad walk me through some of the essentials. But as far as things that came up along the way, we got better at diagnosing problems and figuring out what the problem was. But most often we didn't have the right tool to fix something, or we didn't quite have enough knowledge to fix whatever broke. But you know, like I said, we learned a lot before we left, a lot more than if we had left on some new boat that didn't need work, but we still learned a lot along the way. One thing broke at a time, and, you know, we kind of learned how to pinpoint issues and figure out where they're coming from and what has to be done next.
Well, so what do you do as two 20-something-year-old girls off on this adventure when something did break and you didn't have the right tool or quite the level of knowledge you needed to fix it? What did you do next?
Asked for help, made friends. We were good at making friends. And believe it or not, almost every time something broke or we didn't know the answer to something, there was a person right around the corner that happened to have the right tool or happened to, you know, had the same issue happen to them a week ago or something. it's just kind of a cruising community thing. Everyone's looking out for each other. And, you know, of course, everyone is, without asking, looking out for the two girls that don't really know what they're doing.
Of course, and we find that with loopers and boaters in general are always
yeah.
very willing to help each other out. And, of course, you're members of AGLCA and did fly the Burgee, and that always helps, too, while you're
yeah.
out there. So as we're getting ready to go, any thoughts about backing out? Any thoughts about what are we really doing?
No. Well, we were unprepared when we left. No doubt about that. My uncle actually kind of, well, straight up said to us that maybe we should wait till next year. But we knew that if this happened, we wouldn't end up doing it. So we left kind of flying by the seat of our pants, and it all kind of worked out thanks to all those good friends we met along the way. We left without having ever anchored before, docked the boat only a number of times. And like I said earlier, had only sailed Louise once.
that's amazing to me because I talked to so many loopers, and so many of them that are fairly new to boating have such fear and apprehension about some of those
uh-huh.
things like anchoring or locking through.
Right.
So what do you attribute your willingness to just go and do it to?
You know, what's really funny is that everybody, you know, we get a lot of people that tell us like, oh, you're so brave. And a lot of times my response is, yeah, a little brave, but also a little stupid, because if we knew what we were about to get ourselves into, we probably wouldn't have been so gung-ho about it. But I think, you know, us being a little naive and, you know, problem solvers made us get through it all.
Yeah, and to add to that,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I don't think either of us would have left if our dad did not have some kind of, they had some kind of unspoken confidence in us, but they never questioned us leaving. They never questioned our capability. They knew we had a lot to learn, but they knew we would figure it out. And without that kind of support, I think we definitely would have questioned ourselves more.
Mm-hmm. And at this point, you have both earned your captain's licenses. Am I correct about that?
Not me. Katie has.
Katie has. And Jesse, you drove the boat most mm-hmm. of the time.
I did.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. I'm definitely a driver. I can sit in one
mm-hmm.
place for a very long time and kind of tune out and just drive.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pause for 1 minute while we play a short message from one of our sponsors. And when we come back, I'd like to kind of shift and talk a little bit about the trip itself and some of the highlights and what that meant to you. So we'll be right back.
Winter Harbor Marina is located on the Oneida River, 1.5 miles west of Oneida Lake in Brewerton, New York, just minutes from Syracuse International Airport. Winter Harbor offers the lowest diesel fuel and gas prices from New York City to Canada. If you find a lower posted documented price, they will match it. Their amenities include complimentary courtesy vehicle, 24-hour pay-at-the-pump fueling, dockside water and cable TV, pristine bathrooms and showers, and emergency haul-out service. For more information, call 315-676-9276 or visit www.winterharborllc.com. Winter Harbor is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Okay, so Katie and Jesse, tell us about the trip itself. What were the highlights for you?
Oh, there are so many. Definitely the people. You'll probably hear us say that a million times, but the people were a big reward and so much fun. Highlights was seeing a side of America that you cannot see any other way. You know, some of these river systems and intercoastal waterways lead you to the funkiest of towns and the weirdest of situations, and you just find yourself in places meeting people that you wouldn't otherwise.
That's so interesting to me because I ask that question all the time when I talk to loopers. And as I've said, you're certainly not the average loopers because of your age, but it's interesting that that's the consistent answer, that even at your age and even though you're very different from a lot of the gold loopers, that answer
yeah.
is still the same. You know, the people and
yep.
seeing America from a different vantage point is always highlights. Tell me how it felt to be some of the youngest people doing this kind of trip out there, as because loopers tend to run into each other, and I know you ran into some other loopers along the way. How did it feel to be a little bit younger?
Really cool, actually. We had no idea what kind of people, what age group at all we would be meeting along the way. And we 100% were the youngest over, 2 years. There was a couple families we met, or kids aboard, and did meet a brother and sister traveling with their mom and dad who were just a couple years younger than us. And we got really, really close with them. But it was pretty neat because, like I was describing earlier, without us asking or expecting, people were really looking out for us. Most of the loopers had kids or daughters that were our age or older, and so it was pretty natural for them to just imagine their own girls doing what we were doing and for them to kind of treat us that way. So we got just so much, like, love and support along the way, and have, like, 12 new families now, I would say, after looping with everyone. So it was just kind of, it was unexpected, and it was special.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say to other people your age who maybe are contemplating this or maybe have never even thought about this? What would you tell them about the Great Loop?
The people that we have run into that are talking about doing the loop, of course, we support them in any way that we can, and just let them know that there's a lot of support out there once you start. And a lot of times I think what encourages them is when we tell them how unprepared we were and that we made it. And, just that it is a great experience for someone our age to kind of figure out what is going on in life and, our country. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell us your, maybe top two or three cities or towns or places that you visited.
Ooh, like our favorites?
Yes.
There's a couple places I loved. Apalachicola down in Florida was one of our favorite towns. It was kind of the first town that we spent a couple days, well, not the first town we spent a couple days, but the first town we were really tempted to just stop and stay there. We're like, huh, maybe we should live here. Mm-hmm. And Dufusky Island, which is just north of the Savannah River by the city of Savannah, was a really, really special little island. We fell into some friends there and also hung out there for a couple days and never wanted to leave. Those were probably my two favorite spots. Katie?
We also really liked North Carolina, like Oriental and Ocracoke was a good spot, as well as just Maryland in general. It's funny because we both didn't really expect to fall in love with Maryland and ended up bopping around there for quite a long time, just figuring out what Maryland was.
Did you typically anchor out? I'm sorry,
I
missed that.
Oh, I was just there's nothing that beats the Bahamas.
Yes, and I know you spent a good deal of time in the Bahamas.
We did.
Did you anchor out primarily or pull into marinas or some of both?
Yeah, I think we anchored without including when we stopped to work. We anchored like 80% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
We only went into marinas when we were needing diesel, desperate for showers or water.
Okay, and we know that you found a great deal on a boat. Do you have any idea, an estimate that you're willing to share about what the total cost of the trip was?
That's tough. Yeah, we have estimates.
Yeah, I mean, actually, I've never figured out the total cost. I think more because I don't want to know. It's not that I don't have the data for that.
Mm-hmm.
But we each spent around $900 a month while we were moving, but we also paid for the entire trip as we were going. So, I like to kind of just
go with that.
Well, and it varied a lot, too. You know, there would be, let's say we spent 3 months in the Bahamas, and we spent at least a month in areas where that's completely remote and there is nothing to buy. So we didn't spend a dime. You know, a month would go by and we're not spending any money, and then all of a sudden, you know, our transmission goes out and we have to replace it, and there's $2,000. So it just, it totally depended. But like she said, we averaged, I would say, $800 to $1,000 a month apiece while on the move.
Okay. And Louise is a sailboat. So any pluses or minuses you would name to doing the loop in a sailboat?
We loved doing it in the sailboat, which is funny because neither of us are huge sailors, but a small boat definitely saved us money as far as diesel and marinas. But we got so used to traveling at 5 knots, 5 miles an hour, and doing the loop as slowly as we did ended up being a huge advantage for us. And don't get me wrong, it was really frustrating sometimes to be moving that slow and at the mercy of Mother Nature, but ended up making it a way more of an incredible experience. And I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of trawlers, a lot of big boats, and I guess since we're young and healthy, it was okay that we were kind of camping the entire time as far as lack of amenities and not having what a lot of other loopers had, like a shower or a stove or whatever it was. It made it pretty cool for us, even though it made it challenging.
So at 25 years old, how do you think this adventure changed you?
Ooh, that's in a lot of ways.
Completely?
Completely, yeah. Some good, some bad, but mostly good. We definitely, everything we do is slower, slower to make decisions, you know, slower to speak, slower to everything. We're still moving at 5 miles an hour. I swear, I've been having a hard time kind of catching up on the average pace of life. But it definitely opened our eyes to, like I was saying earlier, just the cruising community and how amazing people can be out of the goodness of their own heart. Our country, you know, we learned a lot about our country that we didn't know before, and we saw so many interesting, weird, awesome places. Like I was also mentioning earlier, that there's no way we would have seen any other way. It's all right here in our backyard, you know, it's all in America. It was pretty cool to go on an adventure right here in our country and learn so much about ourselves and about where we're from versus, you know, taking off to a different one and learning about somewhere we didn't come from. So, I don't know, it opened our eyes a lot. It definitely taught us what's important to us. Rearranged some priorities, maybe.
So do you think you'll do the loop again at any point?
60 years old, on the calendar.
For both of you?
Well, that's what we always talked about that throughout our trip, that, you know, we have to do this again when we're retired, because those retired people have a lot of fun. we actually talk about it probably every week, about just doing it again next summer. So I'm sure it'll happen one day.
Well, and you mentioned at 60, fast forward to like 20 years, so you're, you know, maybe 45. Maybe have kids of your own. How do you think you'll look back on this experience, and do you think you would want your own kids to do it?
Absolutely I would want my kids to do it. I feel like I'm going to be that mom that's like going to force them to go. You must buy boats and go on the Great Loop. Not really, but it was a life changer, and I would definitely want my own kids to do it. As terrified as I would be, I think I know that they would be okay. And what was the pre-question to that? I'm sorry.
How do you think you'll look back on the adventure itself?
It's already kind of hard to look back on, and I only say hard because I secretly wish that it never ended. And
not secretly,
I very publicly wish that it never ended. I hope I hope it is something that we do again, and I already know it's something that I'm going to be talking about for the rest of my life. I feel bad whoever is in my life because they're going to have to hear about it forever. But it was the best and most challenging days of my life, hands down.
Wonderful. So you are children of the digital age. So as you were cruising, you were blogging, and many of the loopers do that. But you've got a very successful, very popular blog. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I never knew what my intentions were when I started the blog. I've been into photography my whole life, and I was just going to, you know, post some photos and keep the family updated, what one typically does with a blog. And I found that in my downtime I enjoyed writing, and so there became more writing and equal writing versus photography, and then sometimes it was more writing than photography. And you know, we just kind of started getting a lot of emails come in, and people were really enjoying it. And so I definitely felt the need to keep it up and to keep people updated as best I could. I didn't blog completely, you know, on the spot. It wasn't like we are here tonight and we're going here tomorrow. Everything that went on the blog was a little bit behind, usually a couple weeks behind. But we just kept getting so much positive feedback on it, and it was really unexpected and really cool. And so I definitely made a point to keep it going, and I had no idea what it would become, especially no idea it would lead us to doing a live podcast for the association.
Well, and your blog is, like I said, quite popular. Tell us a little bit, you know, the stats for those. How many hits do you get a day on average?
We're just over 1,000 hits a day. Have about, you know, 800 people that are signed up to actually receive emails when I post something, and we're just over 500,000 total views right now.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah, pretty cool. Great.
So next for you, Jessie, from that blogging experience is a book.
Yes, and Katie's going to describe it for you.
Okay.
Yeah, so Jessie's been pushed and pushed to be writing this book. Obviously, I'll support her in any way that I need to, but she's definitely the writer of the two of us. Has been responsible for all the blogging and everything, and she took a much more detailed journal. So she'll just be transforming all of that into a little memoir, I guess. Mm-hmm. And she will be hopefully working on that this winter. we just finally
That's
got
really exciting.
To commit to doing that. And so it should be a pretty awesome thing. Right now we're raising money for editing and publishing the book on our blog by selling T-shirts. So if you're interested in that, go check
Absolutely.
It out.
Absolutely. And you can check out their blog at katieandjessieonaboat.com. We are just about out of time. Both of you, congratulations. I've saw you at the Chicago Boat Show, and I've spoken to you a few times now, and I'm just always so impressed with your poise and your adventure. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Best of luck in whatever comes next for you. As I said, if you want to find out more about Katie and Jessie and their adventure, you can visit katieandjessieonaboat.com. If you'd like to know more about the Great Loop, you can visit our website at greatloop.org. We've got several events coming up in different areas of the country that can help you get started on your own Great Loop story for those of you out there. Check back next week. We'll be coming to you from the Miami Boat Show. Our topic is boating in the information age. And Ed Tillett, who is the general manager of Waterway Guide Media, will be our guest, sharing how boaters can use the wealth of information at their fingertips. Until then, safe cruising.
I need